maybe even the number one prophecy, but definitely top five. And I pray that you'd help us to understand it and help us to see first off the basic foundation of it and never sway from that clear dogmatic foundation of it, as unfortunately so many are in these days. I pray you'd help us to be faithful to these words in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Matthew 23. Okay, Jesus made this comment in verse 23, and what he's showing us that there are priorities in regards to the Bible. And he's not saying that there is one Bible verse is better than another Bible verse. It's just saying that there are some ideas that are higher priorities. Okay, and in Matthew 23, verse 23, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted," notice, "omitted the weightier matters of the law." And then he lists them. Okay, judgment, mercy, faith. Okay, judgment, mercy, oxymoron, opposite ends, faith. "These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone." Okay, so when we study our Bible, there are places, just like in our body. In our body, you can survive without your fingers and still live. Yeah, my dad's got the one finger half gone. And he'd say, "We need to get three." And I'd say, "Two and a half, Dad, two and a half, three, two and a half." Okay, and so there are some things you can survive, okay, but there are some body parts, you, heart, you're done. Liver, you're done. Brain, well, a lot of politicians are doing without that. You know, you can survive without a leg. It makes life difficult. Okay, but you could keep going, keep breathing. Okay, so there are some things in the Bible that are weightier. They carry more weight. They're more priority. These are the priorities that we have in life. Okay, now we're in Daniel 9. This great prophecy of Daniel is, and I dare say it's probably, it definitely is in the top three or five of the prophecies of the Bible. As far as I know, it's the first time the word prophecy is used where the prophecy is given in detail after the word is used. Okay, and this very, very important. This prophecy began to be made more understood at the beginning of the 20th century with Clarence Larkin. Okay, maybe you can go back to the Danbury Baptist where they kind of got a little bit more of this, but especially Clarence Larkin made it more understandable. And then C.I. Schofield, okay, on these 70 weeks. Okay, so Daniel chapter 9, verse 1 through 19, Daniel is confessing sins about Israel, about himself. It is a very authoritative method of confession. He has this in Daniel 9. Ezra has his in Ezra 9. And then David has his in Psalm 32 and Psalm 51. So very important. Now while he's making this confession, in verse 20, Gabriel shows up. Now, wouldn't that be kind of nice if you were praying and all of a sudden an angel shows up? Personal message, hand-delivered from God. I'm not expecting it to happen, though. Okay, and I'd probably get Clarence, you know, he's trying to get his wings or something. And he says, verse 20, "And whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man, Gabriel," okay, now we know him as one of the two archangels, but he appeared to him. Oh, okay, the man Gabriel, whenever Gabriel shows up, he is giving tidbits of wisdom. When Michael shows up in chapter 12, he's beating somebody up or standing. Okay, so Gabriel, common saying, gift of Gab. So he shows up here. He shows up in Luke when he gave the message to Mary. So even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. Okay, Jewish customs, because the customs are going to be restored. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. Okay, understanding. You need anything? Jan, Ed, you need something? Is the mic on? I got a green light.
Green light. Hello, hello, hello.
Hey, don't sound like it. You got a green light up there? You got this one? Ed, go see it. You remember that one device where it should have little two green lights? It shouldn't have red lights. Okay, so then in, let's see, where are we at? Oh, skill and understanding. Okay, in verse 22. Okay, understanding, remember that is the outcome of inspiration. Okay, inspiration occurs when the Spirit illuminates a person's mind that they might understand the Scriptures. Okay, you get that out of Job 32:8. So he's gonna be the personal teacher for Daniel. Now, we have the New Testament. The teacher of the Bible is the Spirit of God. Okay, now, the problem with that is us, not the Spirit of God. Okay, a lot of people give God credit that he don't deserve. The Lord told me this. Well, did he? Oh, okay. You know, the Lord is leading me. Okay. A lot of people give God credit for things that I don't think it's coming from God. It's very, you know, a subjective thing. And so in verse 23, at the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. Now, wouldn't that be a blessing from God when a personal messenger from God says to you personally, you are greatly beloved? Now, you know, we don't need that personal messenger right there because we got it in the Bible, because in Ephesians 1 it says, I'm accepted in the beloved, and that's a result of Calvary. Okay, so now the teacher here is going to be Gabriel. So he gives verse 24, and it runs 24 to 27. I'm just going to go with 24 right off the bat. Now this would give some more stability in Bible prophecy, knowing this, understanding this, than anything. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, upon thy holy city, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Okay, so there we go. And we'll just stop with that one. Now, we do have an advantage that Daniel didn't have, in that we have hindsight as an advantage. Okay, in our hindsight, we discover that 70 weeks is not 70 sets of 7 weeks, as far as 7 days. Okay, so it's more than 70 weeks. It turns out that a week is 7 years. So it's 70 times 7. Jesus said, the apostles asked, how long do you forgive a man? Okay, 70 times 7. Now, is he saying 490 is a limitation? Or is he given a abbreviation of 70 weeks? Okay, the 70 weeks is that you forgive him until the second coming. And why? Because that's when Israel is forgiven. Okay, so the 70 weeks turn out to be 490 years, and Gabriel's going to divide that in 3 sections. Okay, we don't divide it. Gabriel divides it, as he's teaching this to Daniel. Okay, very important. Now we got a bunch of people who thinks the church is going into tribulation. We got a bunch of so-called Bible-believing Christians, okay? Baptists, some of them Baptists, who actually think that they're going to go in the tribulation. Okay? And they know, they will say the tribulation will be the 70th week of Daniel. Okay? So if you get them on that, are you telling me that the tribulation is Daniel's 70th week? So you get them on that one, and then you go back to the 70th week and read it. Okay, it says 70 weeks are determined upon thy church, thy people. Now, who's that? Okay, I watched this kid in Australia is teaching this, and he said, thy people. When you ask me who thy people are, that's referring to my people. Well, you can believe that all you want, but that's not what the context says. So what I did in my Bible, okay, I circled thy people in verse 24. And then you can go backwards up to 15 because you run it all there. And he says, and now, O Lord, our God has brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt. That's not the church. So what I did there is I circled that, and then I drew a line from the one in 24 up to the one in 15. And then if you run into verse 16, about two-thirds into it, three-fourths, it says, Jerusalem and thy people. I circled that and ran the line to there. And then you keep reading down, you get to verse 19. O my God, for thy city and thy people, circle that. Got a line there. Verse 20, the sin of my people Israel, circle that, and I've got them all connected. Now it's a no-brainer. When he says thy people in verse 24, that's Israel. Because that's what it says. And the church is not Israel, no matter how much a person tries to say that it is. It's not Israel. Okay, then I went back down to the verse that says, upon thy holy city. Okay, I circled that. And then I go back up to verse 16, middle of the verse. Thy city, Jerusalem, thy holy mountain. Circled that. And then I drew a line from thy holy city up there. And then in verse 19, thy city, circled that, drew a line over to the city in verse 24. In verse 20, at the end of the verse, the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, circled that, and then drew that over to the holy mountain of verse 16, Jerusalem. All connected. That's how you define a Bible word, within the context. So that tells me, and that's something you never waver on, because that is obvious and dogmatic. Don't have to add anything, subtract anything. Okay, 70 weeks. Okay, up until this point, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, Israel, thy holy city, Jerusalem. Okay, that's the calendar for that location and for that people. Within this context, we'll get a couple other clues, like in the middle of verse 17, thy sanctuary. Okay, so that's the Jewish religion. Thy sanctuary, Jewish religion. In middle of verse 25, Jerusalem, got that underlined. Messiah, got that underlined. Okay, and there's a while back, a big deal, Stephen Anderson made a big deal because somebody asked Sam Gipp about Jesus being the Messiah and all this stuff, and Sam just said, Jesus is not my Messiah. Okay, and what he was keeping it within context of the Messiah is of the Jewish idea. Okay, where he's my Savior. And so these guys jumped all over that, and they took that little tippet, you know, little bit out of his message. Jesus is not, he's lost, going to hell. He's a devil. And man, all over the YouTube, Steven Anderson, those guys, and man, one after another, Sam Gibbs going to hell. He's claiming he don't believe in Jesus, the Messiah. I mean, what a thing. You know, and so what Sam was doing, he was keeping it within the context. He wasn't wrong in that. It's easy to just to pull those things out. In verse 26, Messiah, again, that's only found two times in the Bible. In the New Testament, it'll be Messias, but it's a Jewish individual mentioning that. Okay, in the middle of verse 26, you'll see the city, sanctuary. So everything fits beautifully. Perfectly. In the middle of verse 27, oblation. So we got a sacrifice. So everything fits if we let the puzzle stay within the setting. Okay, so we get that. What we do is we start with the clear and then work out toward the complex. So when is this calendar done? Okay, 70 weeks. We have an advantage of hindsight. Okay, we can run the scripture on that. There are cases when the Lord will say, on some of the judgments, he said, a day is a year with Ezekiel. Lay in one side for 390 days. That means going to be years. You lay in the other side 40 days. That's going to be symbolized to be years. So the 430 days or 420 to whatever days is going to become years. Now, if we look for a Bible verse about a week and 7 years, we run back to Genesis and remember that when Jacob worked for Rachel, it says he was going to work a week and it turned out to be 7 years. That week was 7 years. So that would be a verse you could throw in there. Okay, here we have a case where the word week turned out to be 7 years someplace else in the Bible. So now we have the advantage of hindsight looking back on this. Okay, now what is the end of this calendar? When does this prophecy stop? Okay, that comes at... When does it stop? Number one, to finish the transgression. Okay? For with who? Israel. To make an end of sins. To make reconciliation for iniquity. Okay? A person might say, when does that happen? When does that happen? Okay, if you don't know when that happens, don't worry about it. He'll give you something obvious. To bring in everlasting righteousness, that should be a pretty obvious one. To seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Now, is that not a no-brainer right there? Okay, so you could divide them. You could say six characteristics, or if you want to cheat to get up to seven, you'll have to split the vision and the prophecy to get it up to seven. Either way, it doesn't matter. So the end of these 70 weeks has to have these characteristics. To finish the transgression, what transgression? The great transgression that Israel committed for crucifying their Messiah. Okay, then make an end of sins. That's a promise that was given in Jeremiah 50. Okay, that's going into the new covenant. To make reconciliation for iniquity. This is the reconciling of Israel, the restoring of Israel back to God. To bring in everlasting righteousness, no-brainer, that's Jesus Christ. Seal up the vision and prophecy to anoint the most holy. Again, a no-brainer, the anointing of Jesus Christ, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Okay, that is the end calendar. Now, we know that none of those have happened yet. So that means this calendar is still in force. It has not been done. It's not completed. So we get that. We get that all figured out. Okay, what he's going to do is he's going to give us the calendar for the first and second coming of Jesus Christ. This is the calendar. This is the calendar that the Magi knew about. Okay, where they just kind of run the math. Okay, whether he's looking for the star was just more like icing on the cake. They had already figured it out by the calendar. This is how they knew Palm Sunday occurred. You know, how by chance all these people show up on Palm Sunday? That was the calendar system for the first and second coming. Okay, in verse 25, he gives the start of the calendar. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto, okay, the starting is there's going to be an official king that's going to give a command, it's going to be an official decree to restore and build up Jerusalem. Okay, so we know that. You go back to Ezra and Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 2. Okay, that's the guy that officially was the one said we're going to restore, rebuild Jerusalem. And then Nehemiah was the guy that God used to get the money together, get the finances together. And then they were rebuilding Jerusalem. Okay, so it's going to be, that's the starting calendar. So you go back to about, it's actually 3:33 p.m. on March 24th in 445 B.C. Okay, so how do I know? You know, I went time traveling and found it. Okay, so it's back in that time. Okay, about 445 in that range. Now, another problem with this calendar system is that our calendar is not a Jewish calendar, where the popes always wanted to get the calendar after him. So our calendar is really messed up. Now the Jewish calendar is saying that we are, from Adam, is around, last time I checked, it was around 5,700 and, I don't know, 70. So 5,770, something like that. On the Jewish calendar, it's online, you can look it up, from Adam until now. Now, I hope that's dead wrong, because they're about missing 200 to 300 years in there. Now, according to Bill Sneblin, he said the Jews are missing 200 years in there. I don't know where he comes up with that. Whatever, okay? But our calendar's messed up, okay? And plus, for a year for us, a year is 365 and a quarter, or and some change in there. But the Bible calendar, okay, the Bible calendar goes with 360 days. You get that out of Revelation. In Revelation, he says 42 months, 1,260 days. Divide that, okay, and you have 30 days per month. That's a Bible calendar, and that's what this will follow. So one time I got down my calculator and I sat around 445 B.C. in March, you know, and I started running, and then I checked, okay, leap year, and tried to figure out leap year and all this stuff, you know, and I, you know, don't ask me to do it again. I don't know if I can do it, but it came right down to Palm Sunday. I thought, oh, I could have just bleeped the Bible. Saved some time. Okay, but it did come right out to exactly to the point. Okay, so then he says here, Jerusalem, under the Messiah, the Prince. Now, Gabriel is going to divide it in three sections. 7 weeks, so that's 49 years. 62 weeks, okay? So you put those two together, 7, 62, 69, 483 years. So 483 years, if it's around 445, 446 B.C., you run the math, you're going to say, well, that's way past 30 A.D. You've got to throw in that 360 days, and so it's going to back it up. Okay, so once the last time, you know, it was a while back, I was looking on the Jewish calendar trying to figure out what year for the crucifixion, and I think it was A.D. 27. I was looking for when Passover landed on a Wednesday. So A.D. 27 was 1 year that it did. A.D. 30 was another year. And so those would be our couple prospects in that range if you follow the days. Okay, so he says here, 7 weeks, 62 weeks, the street shall be built again. That's Nehemiah. And the wall, Nehemiah. Even in troublous times, again, Nehemiah and Ezra. You'll read all about that. And then it says, verse 26, and after 62 weeks, after shall Messiah be cut off. Okay, so 7 plus the 62, 69. After the 69, Messiah is cut off. And we have 1 week that's kind of hanging here. That's verse 27. Now, we know in the Bible from reading it that sometimes, at times, God, by a comma, will skip 1,000 or 2,000 years, a comma, conjunction, colon, whatnot. Okay? Because God allows for the free will of man in there. Now, after 62 weeks, okay, so if Palm Sunday was the completion of the 483 years, which what it looks like to me, so that would be when the Messiah is crowned prince. Monday, day one of 70th week. Tuesday, day two of the 70th week. Day three, okay, of the 70th week, crucifixion. Jesus prayed, Father, forgive them, they know not what to do. God gave them a second chance, the book of Acts. I believe that the calendar was still going into the 70th week, into the beginning of the book of Acts. And then when they rejected Stephen's message, right then, God picked up the sand clock, and then set it on the side. And so the 70th week is going to be resumed. Okay, they can still run a whole week agreement, but all of that, how much is left? You know, your guess is as good as mine on this, and it's not worthy to be fighting about, because we're going to be we're going to be nervous at the judgment seat, what we're going to be doing. Okay, and so a lot of times they'll make it a full 7 years, and they assume that the 70th week stopped. This doesn't say that. All it says is after is when Messiah is cut off. That's the crucifixion. Okay, so he says, after Messiah be cut off, and look how he writes it, but not for himself. He just throws that in there, but not for himself. Okay, and then we have a colon. Okay, and the people of the prince shall come and destroy the city and the sanctuary. Okay, now again, we have hindsight. The people of the prince, lowercase p, not uppercase p, like Jesus Christ, prince of the power of the air, lowercase p, the people of the prince shall come and destroy the city and the sanctuary. History tells us that was Rome. Okay, so Rome did that. So we have the Antichrist marked to be the Roman ruler. They destroy the city and the sanctuary. Then you have a semicolon, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. I've seen those words before. And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. So in verse 26, the Lord has it set up where if the Jews receive their Messiah, he can go right into it. If the Jews reject the Messiah, he can go right into the church. And you have a gap in there. Okay, now the one that made this gap is God, not you or I. It's not some preacher trying to give you a three-point outline. It's Gabriel that's dividing this. So in verse 27, we have this 1 week still waiting. Okay, you know, they didn't know it was going to be 2,000 years between them. Again, we have an advantage of hindsight. So looking backward, we can see, hey, there's 2,000 years between them. And then he titles that the end. The end. And that's something you run through the Bible. You look up the words the end, you can run it on your, you know, phrase and a computer, is still going to hit over 100 times, the end. Hits over 100 times. Then you got to read each one, and sometimes it's just the end of that story. Sometimes it's the end of the Bible. But then there's a definition. He that endureth unto the end shall be saved. And the context of that is tribulation. The end of what? The end of Daniel's 70th week. It makes perfect sense when you get that in line. That's what the end. He's not talking about the end of the world. That's over 1,000 years from the end of Daniel's 70th week. Okay, and that word, the end, you'll find in Hebrews 3, Hebrews 4, Hebrews 6, Hebrews 10, I think. Okay, and what it does, when we understand that the first 69 weeks operated under the Mosaic Covenant, and when Jesus showed up, it's still the Mosaic Covenant. Okay, then he introduced the New Testament. Okay, so we've got the New Testament introduced in that waiting time period on the 70th week. And then when God picks up the sand clock and sets it on the side, and when the rapture takes place, because he's got to get the church out of here. Why? You know, Stephen Anderson says that the church is going into the tribulation. So how do you reconcile taking the mark of the beast? Losing eternal security. Well, he says that God is going to give every believer the grace not to take it. Right. That's just guess. That's all guesswork. Okay? And then he takes the audacity in saying that the church is Israel. That's just insane. And in fact, that is the warning God gave the church. He says, the warning is that when you go against and boast against the branches and the blindness of Israel, that's when you, church, are finished. So actually, it's a good sign. It's a blessing. Not for him. And I've written to these guys time and time again, you know, and I tell them, you need to get a house in Jordan. You need to get your things, you know, and they'll say something like, what for? Don't you get it? You got to get to Petra. You know, Mormon has all, you get on a Mormon hotline. They have all sorts of ways of getting foodstuffs and bury it and everything. Hey, we're out of here with the rapture. Okay, and now then they're going to throw out that idea, mid-tribulation, you know, this and that. Anytime you put any Christian in the tribulation time period, you have a doctrinal problem. You can't do it. And this is always something, that's always overlooked by these guys, even, you know, like the Tim LaHaye and the Left Behind series. They don't even discuss this, and actually, it's entertaining, but they're going to confuse a lot of people because they think, okay, I can wait to see the Antichrist and get saved. No, you're not. If you don't accept gospel when it's free, do you think you're going to accept it when it's got, you got to die of martyrdom attached to it? Go kid somebody else. You're going to believe the deception. I mean, they are definitely going to believe the deception. And so, that idea, when it goes back to Israel, and we recognize that it's Jerusalem, and it's all about the sacrifices, and it falls back under the Mosaic Covenant, the one exception or the hitch in that plan is, okay, the Mosaic Covenant for the 70th week is after Calvary. So how does God explain that? That's what Hebrews is for. That's why he wrote Hebrews. And that's why he put it after Philemon. That is the amendment to the Old Testament law. Now you do not trust a four-legged lamb. You trust the blood of the Lamb of God. Okay, but you're still required to keep them commandments. The basic Ten Commandments. Okay, as far as that would go. And that explains Hebrews and James and all the rest of that. Now anybody, pretty much anybody will admit Revelation is future prophecy. Well, you pick up Hebrews, all of that is future prophecy. A lot of that is going into the prophecy. And when you get that understanding of the Bible, Hebrews makes sense then. It makes zero sense if you don't understand the doctrines. None. The Pentecostals, they run circles around Baptists because they won't accept what it says. Epistle to the Hebrews. How simple is that? Oh, there's Jewish Christians. It doesn't say that. Stop adding something to it. And so, this 70th week, very vitally important. And then verse 20, okay, you got the end of the war, desolations are determined. And then 27, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Okay, who's the he? Well, the context is going up to the prince of verse 26, Antichrist. He has an agreement, a covenant with many for 1 week. So an agreement, Muslims, Jews, a 7-year agreement. It's interesting, in the Muslim faith, they have a doctrine called hudna, which no agreement can go more than 10 years. And so this one obviously going to apply here. So there's going to be an agreement. And in the midst of the week, the Antichrist shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. So he makes an agreement with Israel. You can restore the Jewish worship, and the Jews are ready for it. You can restore this, but then right in the middle of that agreement, he's gonna break it. He's going to go down to the Jewish temple. He's going to declare himself God. They're going to have to worship him as God. They're going to recognize he's the devil incarnate. Now what do? They recognize Jesus Christ is a real Messiah. And then everything falls apart after that. The sacrifice and oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations, there he is, that's called the abomination of desolation. Antichrist walks into the Jewish temple, I'm God, worship me. You don't do that, you're dead. Get them Jews, get them. Cut their throat. You know, let's sacrifice them. Okay, that's the abomination of desolation. He shall make it desolate even until the consummation, and the determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Israel gets so desolate that in Isaiah 62 verse 4, he calls it desolate with an uppercase D. Desolate and forsaken. Okay, so I think we got that covered. Daniel's 70th week. Okay, we'll go ahead and stop and pray. Lord, thank you for your words, and I do pray that you'd help us to allow your scriptures to say what they say to whom they're spoken, and that we would believe what is said and written, and then apply it properly. In Jesus' name, amen.